Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. At the beginning of today's gospel reading, this is what St. Luke says about Jesus' childhood. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. At the end of the reading, Jesus is found in the temple as a 12-year-old, and St. Luke again says, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. How did Jesus get such wisdom? Sitting among the teachers in the temple, listening to them, asking questions? He has the wisdom way beyond the years of 12, answering his parents who are greatly distressed at having left him behind in Jerusalem. He has wisdom that they don't even understand. And yet, Jesus doesn't act like some know-it-all. He isn't too big for his britches. He also has the wisdom to know his place. So he returned with his earthly parents to Nazareth and was submissive to them. This is the profound wisdom of one who fears and loves God above all things. He doesn't despise his parents. Instead, he honors them, serves and obeys them, loves and cherishes them. Even as a child and a young man, Jesus was filled with wisdom. It seems that his own family and friends weren't sure of where it came from. Old Simeon had said that Jesus was appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that's opposed. We see this play out in the way people listened to Jesus. Some would be amazed by his understanding and his answers, and some would be angered by what he said and did. Some would drop everything and follow him. Some would shout for him to be crucified. God chose to shame the wise by what is foolish in this world, by a newborn baby laid in a manger, a 12-year-old teaching the teachers, an innocent man condemned to death by crucifixion. We can already begin to sense the questions that people will ask later on. Where does he get those things? Where does this wisdom given to him? How does his hands do such mighty works? Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary, whose brothers and sisters we know? His own hometown doesn't believe it. When he heals a man born blind on the Sabbath, the Pharisees say, "We know that this man is a sinner." They mean Jesus. They can't make heads or tails of him. Truly, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. So, also, Joseph and Mary were astonished when they saw Jesus in the temple. They may have wondered, "Is this our son? We taught him how to run, to walk, hammer, and saw. But where did he learn this stuff? And how does he come to teach the teachers in Israel? And why does he treat us like this?" God's ways are higher than their ways. His wisdom is deeper than their understanding. The wisdom of Jesus isn't like that of a child prodigy or a genius or a wonder kid. Something different is going on with him. This wisdom is his by nature. No one gave it to him, not even Mary or Joseph. It didn't come from experience or education or grace. He didn't read about it in a book or find it on YouTube. He is the wisdom behind creation, the wisdom that wrote the books of Moses and the Ten Commandments, that inspired the prophets, that spoke every psalm and proverb. He is the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God in human form. Now, there's a difference between the wisdom of Jesus and the wisdom of Solomon. Solomon was wise, yes, even one of the wisest people who ever lived, yet he was not wise by nature. He knew this all too well, and because he wasn't wise, he prayed for wisdom. "You, O God, have made me king in a place of my father, David, although I'm only a little child. I don't know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of your chosen people, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give me an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" And as it says in the book of James, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." God heard Solomon's prayer for wisdom. He gave him wisdom to rule long and well for the good of his people, wisdom in judgment about human affairs with respect to the created world, wisdom for life in this fallen world. We are like Solomon, not like Jesus. We're like little children. Wisdom doesn't come naturally to us. We don't know what to do. How to love, how to serve, how to discern between good and evil. We aren't up to the work that we're given to love husband or wife, raise children, care for family members, be good citizens, friends and neighbors. Let us do our work or have dominion over the creation. Left to ourselves, we bring it all to ruin, and too often we all have. Too often, we've relied on our own wisdom and become fools. Others have suffered because of it. What's true for me is true for all. In myself, I lack an understanding mind. I fail to discern between good and evil, and I don't have the wisdom to serve or govern well. It's too much for all of us. Thank God he has what we lack. Thank God he hears our prayers. And thank God he gives wisdom. But let Solomon be a warning to us. While his long reign was marked by great wisdom, in old age it becomes a perfect picture of wisdom disconnected from God. He forgot that it's a gift. He let it go to his head. He became too wise for his own good. Like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he tried to be wiser than God. But Jesus is greater than Solomon. He comes to the Father's house. The spirit of wisdom rests on him. True wisdom doesn't seek to impress others. It doesn't seek its own honor, its own praise. It doesn't seek power or wealth. It isn't the same as smarts or intellectual ability or degrees, and it doesn't necessarily increase with age or experience. It grows with use. When Scripture says that Jesus increased in wisdom, it doesn't mean that he was lacking it. It means that as a man, he was putting it to use. At every age, every stage, he lived wisely. True wisdom is selfless. It doesn't serve itself. It serves others. It comes from God and is present in Christ, revealed in his word. It can only be used rightly in connection with God. It keeps his commandments. It loves him, and it loves others. This is the wisdom that we see in Jesus, the wisdom that brings him to the Father's house, the wisdom that makes him be about his Father's business, calls him to do the Father's will. He had the wisdom to judge rightly, to love completely and live fully. He looked at us and saw what we needed. He knew his place. If he was to love the Father and serve us, that place was the cross. Wisdom sent him there, knew what the law demanded and did it. Loved God perfectly and loved you perfectly, suffered the death that only fools deserve. The shame, the mockery, and the suffering of the cross. Jesus is there in the Father's house as true wisdom, obedient to the law, full of love, that seeks itself, that does not seek itself but others, increases all the way to the cross. Do any of us lack wisdom? It's yours, in Jesus and in his word. The wisdom that you need to live, to love, and to serve. Of his mercy toward you. Wisdom of his forgiveness to you. The wisdom of his eternal, undying love that is yours. And the more we have Jesus, the more we grow in this wisdom. What is his by nature is yours by grace. It's his gift to you, given again and again and again. As St. Paul says, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. And so we too become the children of wisdom through faith in Christ Jesus. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.